Why would we need a fast track here?
Just to get it out, just to get it out.
But it's not in jeopardy of being vetoed or anything.
It would.
They won't veto that.
Do you think there's enough time that's good to break?
We're back on the air. I'd like to call the appropriations committee back into order. We took a recess to get some amendments formed for this bill, 1757. And I believe that Congressman Shaw is prepared with his amendment. You have the floor, sir.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. With the help of the budget analyst and legal counsel, we reworded and changed some amounts in there. And we brought up the bill. If we could take that back up to the title. Okay, there's the titles that currently is. Hand these out. Just copy of the amendments. It's wordy and busy enough. It'd be easier if you had a copy.
I don't know.
He does.
I do.
I didn't give him one.
Okay. So we've gone from a three-line title to a longer title, but with more information. And for purposes of tracking, as was articulated by my colleagues, it's certainly there, including the amendment.
And when I read, I'm like.
I'd like to move to amend ONCA 1757, page 1, lines 16, 17, and 18, strike entire title and replace with, to amend ONCA 1690, ONCA 1691, ONCA 1692, ONCA 1694, and ONCA 1695, to provide supplemental appropriations to the Division of Land, Commerce, and Agriculture in the amount of $115,656, to the Division of Executive Administration in the amount of $56,796, to the Division of Health and Wellness in the amount of $105,291, the Division of Language and Cultural Resources in the amount of $313,864, and to the Division of Child, Family, and Senior Services in the amount of $64,014, for a total appropriation by this act of $655,621, and to establish an alternate effective date.
He made a motion to amend the title. Is there a second to
second.
The, have a second? Now we're in discussion, Congressman Maker. Yes,
can we just shorten this title and call this the mega bill, if that's possible?
That's a good question, but I don't think we're going to do that today.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was just a question.
I like that question, Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did the amount in historic preservation adjust accordingly with what we received from the treasurer? It's only $8, but $396,980. As to what's listed, $396,989.
So do we get different amounts? I haven't had a chance to study it yet, but is that what we got?
Just sent out from the treasurer with regards, there's two pieces of information, one from the Gaming Commission, one from Historical Preservation, $396,980 is what Sam has sent us, and is that reflected in the new amendment?
No, actually, we got that, and I discussed it, why this preparation was in progress. I guess what I would ask the committee is, do they feel like that $8 difference is enough to adjust the bill? It's a projection.
I don't believe that it...
Okay, well, I just...
Yeah.
Just
no, it hasn't been adjusted. This was the old numbers.
Okay.
Thanks for...
First one, bring it up.
Having those good eyes on like that.
He's an evil eye.
He does have a really good eye. Any more discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment say yes.
Yes.
Are there any opposed to it? Seeing none, the amendment passes. You're on, Congressman Maker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to report out to Congress ONCA 17-57. It's a due pass as amended.
discussion on the floor? Do pass as amended? Is there a second?
Second.
We didn't adopt any committee substitutes. It was just been amended, correct? Okay, good deal. Any discussion to the motion? All those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The motion carries. We will report ONCA 1757 to Congress for due pass recommendation. And we're finished with the bill at hand, and I relinquish the chair back to the chairman, Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chairman. Next on our agenda is ONCA 1764, an act to amend and restate the Treasury Law, 15 ONC, not sure how you pronounce it, double squiggle, 2, 3, 10, sections, thank you, 2 through 310 et al. To clarify the requirement that Congress engage and approve the auditor of the nation and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn, and I will turn the floor over to her.
Thank you, Congressman Shaw. I'm handing you what I was hoping would turn out to be the colored redline version of this bill, but for some reason there's a glitch in the Word program, and when you're trying to print a markup version in color, when my computer's trying to, it doesn't accomplish that. It prints this document. So I will point out to you where they are. But the first place I want to start is why I brought the Treasury bill, why I opened it up, why I think it needs amendment. In the Treasury bill, I believe that we all are aware that as far as the language of the Constitution, where it says that the Congress will have I don't have a Constitution in front of me. It states that Congress will have a hand in selecting the auditor that audits the nation, and that's in Article 7, Section 13. It says the powers and duties of the treasurer of the Osage Nation shall be prescribed by the Osage Nation Congress and will include the mandate that an annual financial statement for the nation government will be audited by a certified public accountant approved by the Congress or committee of Congress and presented to the Congress in a timely manner. It came to our attention, I believe, that the Treasury bill does not follow or track the language of the Constitution. The old language, where it talks about audits, which would be in section 2-322, audits. The language of the old language of the bill says the treasurer shall utilize the certified public accountants engaged. That's the new language of the bill. I don't know if I have an old bill up that's. Right. The old language does not indicate that Congress has anything to do with the auditor. Shanna, could you pull that up quickly for me? The old.
What am I looking for?
The old Treasury bill. I'm sorry, I'm not prepared with it here in front of me. It would be section 2. It's codified at, let me tell you where it is in code. It's at 15 ONC 2-322. Because this is the main change I wanted to make by putting the Treasury bill before you. And then other changes have been requested. And the bill sits right now, the language of 2-322 is the only thing that's been incorporated into the bill as it sits right now, that's filed, and what we're looking at this committee right now.
You should pull that up.
She's pulling up what the old language is compared to what the new language that I've... 322 right there, where it says audits. Can that get bigger so Maria can read it from here? Says the treasurer shall engage annual independent audits by certified public accountants and shall present the audit reports to the principal chief and the Osage Nation Congress in accordance with the financial and accounting policies and procedures of the Osage Nation. The treasurer shall cause the financial statement and audit findings to be published and made available to the Osage public. That's how the bill reads right now before this amendment was introduced. Nowhere in there does it entertain the idea that Congress is going to approve the auditor, such as the selection process, such as our Constitution indicates. So the new language that I've proposed in section 2-322, and it's the only place the bill has been changed thus far that, as it sits on the table, it says the treasurer shall utilize a certified public accountant engaged and approved by the Osage Nation Congress or its designated congressional committee to perform annual audits of the nation and shall present the audit reports to the principal chief and the Osage Nation Congress in accordance with the financial and accounting policies and procedures of the Osage Nation. The treasurer shall cause the financial statement and audit findings to be published and made available. So I've just included language in that we're going to choose the public accountant, the auditor, and so that's where we're at right now. Now, Congressman, I've sent you some documents. I've sent you this version in Word, and I've sent you some documents that Congressman Supernaw has sent to me. Congressman Supernaw would like for there to be a single nation audit where we choose that auditor. We choose the auditor to audit all entities of the nation, including our LLC companies and our gaming companies. And he would some way like for me to incorporate this into the Treasury bill. And I think that it can be done under this audit heading, although I haven't had time to flesh it out and add the language there. You do have the document that Congressman Supernaw is requesting. I don't think this is going to come out of committee today. I just wanted to let you know how I'm working on it. I'm hoping that maybe I can get something together and get it into the committee tomorrow because I'd like to get this bill out. I know we have three other bills on the committee tomorrow, and I know that they take precedent because they're on their first. So you have an idea of where I'm working toward. Here are some more changes in the bill since we have it open and it's on the table, and I have about 10 more minutes to present to you that I'm going to tell you where I'm going to change. Declaration of policy in section 2-302. It says it is the policy of the Osage Nation to promote a strong fiscal policy and to ensure financial accountability according to strict accounting standards to the Department of the Treasury and to administer all funds of the nation through a chief financial officer, the treasurer, who is subject to review by the Osage Nation Congress. Now, the language currently in there, I didn't read it. I read it how I want to amend it. Do you have it in there? Okay. It says the existing bill, after the comma on the next to the last line, there's the treasurer comma. It says, who is accountable to the executive department and subject to review of Congress? I don't like that language. I don't think he's just accountable to the executive department. I think the treasurer of the nation is accountable to the all branches of whose funds he safeguards. He safeguards the funds that's in the judiciary. He safeguards the funds that's in the legislative branch. He safeguards the funds that are the Osage people's. So I don't like that statement in there that states that he's accountable to the executive branch. So I'm striking it. You guys may not agree. I'd like to hear some dialogue on that. But I'm going to come back with either a committee substitute or some amendments to strike that out. Do you have any comment to make about that, anyone?
Strike out that one part and just don't insert
anything. Just don't insert anything else. Just to administer all funds of the Osage Nation through a chief financial officer, the treasurer.
Period.
Period.
And now that review by the Yosemite Congress.
Yeah, that's all in there, excuse me. You have the copy right there, how it's going to read? It's going to read, "It is the policy of the Osage Nation to promote strong fiscal policy and to assure the financial accountability according to strict accounting standards to the Department of the Treasury and to administer all funds of the Osage Nation through a chief financial officer, the treasurer, who is subject to review by Osage Nation Congress."
Okay.
That's how it's going to read.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm considering making that change. Unless there's some objections to that change, I would like to hear them if there are. And then the next place I want to amend this law is on 2-308, where it's removal of the treasurer. Yes?
Are you looking at this paper copy?
Yes.
I
never got the markup.
And that's what I'm having trouble with.
Okay. So you're...
And there is one, I have one markup that's not red.
Do I need the markup as you're proposing these amendments?
You just have to mark it yourself.
Yeah, you mark it up.
You
have to mark it
yourself. We get red ink pen.
All right.
It will print without any colors. Yeah. You can mark it yourself.
No, I'm happy to do that.
If you can open that document in Word and you can go to markup review, but you don't have Word on your iPads. So you can go, if you get to sit at your computer at your desk, open it up in Word, go to marked up version, it'll show you everywhere I've marked it up. For some reason, it just doesn't translate on these Apple machines in Word to show you that. So the next place is at 2-308, removal of the treasurer and department employees. The second paragraph, it says the treasurer shall be subject to removal by the principal chief in accordance with Article 12 of the Constitution and by the law, and for cause, including but not limited to the following. I don't think that the language is very constitutional. I don't believe the principal chief has the ability to remove anybody. I know it does say in accordance with Article 12, but I still think that on its face is wrong language.
Can you read it in the Constitution, Article 12, they're talking about?
Yes, I will. Article 12 in the Constitution says removal, grounds for removal. All elected and appointed officers of the Osage Nation shall be subject to removal from office for cause, including but not limited to willful neglect of duty, malfeasance in office, habitual use of alcohol or drugs, inability to meet qualifications to serve, conviction of felony or conviction of a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude while in office. Section 2 says, rules and procedures. Removal of Osage Nation officers shall originate in the Osage Nation Congress, except as otherwise provided in the Osage Nation Constitution. The motion for removal shall list fully the basis for the proceeding and must be approved by 2/3 vote of the members. Trial on removal and then be conducted by the Osage Nation Congress with the accused afforded due process and an opportunity to be heard, so on and so forth. So Article 12 squarely places the removal in the hands of the legislature. So I think that the law saying as it currently sits that he'll see subject to removal by the principal chief is not true. So I'm proposing that the treasurer, that's stricken and it read, the treasurer shall be subject to removal in accordance with Article 12 of the Osage Constitution and by law for cause, including but not limited to the following, which they use constitutional language follows down there. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, okay, it's in the Constitution.
So it's just, all I'm doing is striking by the principal chief. It's going to keep everything else there. Yes.
The department employees that they're referring to here, are those Treasury Department employees?
I would say so.
Okay.
And I don't think that you're right. Maybe that needs to be stricken also, because they can just be fired. They're not removed. They're employees.
Are they sworn, are they appointed?
In the title where it says removal of the treasurer and department employees?
They go through an HR function, don't they?
They would be subject to.
Employees handbook.
Exactly.
Policies and procedures.
Well.
If that's.
Yeah, that does read weird because this is removal, but I think it's just saying removal of treasurer is covered in this section, and then department employees is also covered. So it does go on to the employees of the treasury department are employees of the OCH Nation, are governed by the OCH Nation, are employed in the system and its rules for discipline. So it throws you off, right, it throws you off in the section.
So I think we should strike the and department employees and the whole last portion where it addresses.
Where's that at?
It's on down below, probably at the top of the next page, where it says the employees of the treasury.
Yeah.
Reading.
I scrolled up.
No, I've got it, I'm saying he's.
I'm okay to go manual, she can keep, committee command of the.
What it's doing is it's out of nowhere, so for one, the title is weird, but it is showing you in this bill that it's covering two things, but that's just kind of floating out there.
Right.
Unnecessarily.
I will remove that all, in the committee substitute, I will remove all the language about employees because I think it's unnecessary language, but what that section does also do is it strikes, please scroll up, I guess I have it right here.
Banner.
No, no, the other way. Down, excuse me.
I want to do it.
Okay.
It's way hard.
Okay, let me see. So it says, there's a, I was wrong. The language right there, upon removal of the treasurer, I'm striking all of that. So if you'll read it, it's not in line with what the Constitution says. It says, upon removal of the treasurer, the principal chief shall immediately notify the OCH Nation Congress via a formal written transmittal stating the fact, the removal, and the grounds therefore, and shall immediately ensure that the records and funds of the nation are secure. Well, the principal chief cannot remove the treasurer.
No, that's in the Constitution. Did you say?
What's in the Constitution?
Principal chief can't remove the, says he, that he's accountable to the principal chief.
He is accountable, but.
We're striking that part too.
But if you look at Article 12, removal, there is no ability for the chief to remove any. The only people, persons, the chief, appointed people the chief can remove are his own appointees that do not have a term limit.
They're not confirmed.
They're not confirmed, but they're not confirmed to a term. So the treasurer, the AG.
Which section is that, did you say? It's under removal.
Removal's under 12, that's all. Removal process is all under the authority of Congress. And the only person that.
Not debating, I just wanted to look at it.
The only person that the chief can remove is his own appointees.
OCH Nation officer, so we include the treasurer as an OCH Nation officer.
So I'm proposing that whole upon removal of the treasurer paragraph be stricken. The reason, well, I'm not even going to go into the reason, I think it's there, it's speculation, but they put it there and they legislated for a situation, and I think that's what we get into when we do situational legislation without looking what the language of our Constitution actually says. So let me see, that's another thing I'm going to come to the table with in a committee substitute.
Removal?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I won't be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I have a medical appointment, but I can't recall exactly what we were thinking whenever we were talking about the treasurer, when we were writing the Constitution, but before I make any comments on it one way or another, I'm going to withhold any comments until I have an opportunity to talk with some of the other commissioners that and get their ideas before I express myself.
Okay. That's great. That's good. So then we're about out of time. So I guess when I get the rest of my amendments incorporated into here with the red line version, I'm going to try my best to figure out how to make that red line print. I've done it before. It's just kind of glitchy.
That would help tremendously.
Yes, I will come to the table with a complete red line. I do want you to know, though, the way the bill sets as it's amended on the table is that language about audits that I have put Congress back in to selecting the auditor. So with that being said, I will continue to work on this and bring it to you. I'm not the chair anymore.
I was like, you're both staring at me. You want somebody to say something? Decide who's chair. Okay. Okay, for what I was going to move the table, but one quick question of Congressman Supernall's amendment. I know that we heard from the Cherokee Nation treasurer, and she spoke about how, you know, we were trying, like, okay, not everybody needs to get their own auditor, just cut down on expenses. Would this amendment, do you think, prohibit any of the entities to get their own auditor?
I think it's going to have to be the way we're trying to do it is to put it into the Treasury bill under the audit section. So we're going to have to be clear if there's going to be exceptions and who gets to grant those exceptions.
That's all I was wanting to just remind and make sure that's in, because I haven't had a chance to look it up.
Now, my big overall overarching idea that I've come to, and I'm not set in stone, this is just how I'm thinking that we're going to, that I think it would work, is the Constitution gives us the ability to prescribe the powers and duties of the treasurer in Osage Nation law. And we've done so. So one of the powers and duties that I'm going to change in here, is that he sits on the Congressional Audit Committee. That's going to be one of his powers and duties, that he sits on the committee with us. And what I'm going to do,
Ex officio or full voting?
He's a full voting member. He's our seventh member. And what the Congressional Audit Committee is going to be, which I can't put in the Treasury bill because it has to do with the legislator, is going to be through our rules that this committee is the Congressional Audit Committee. So we select, our job is to select the auditor. The treasurer, though, will be in charge of that auditor once he's selected. He will direct.
Why do you need to have voting?
To break a tie, if we're split 3-3, to break a tie.
He's a non-elected official, he's an appointed official.
Right.
Why would you give him a vote on a committee that, I don't know any of the precedent for that on our other committees. Think about it.
So who would you like the seventh member of the committee to be?
I would say, well, typically when we have a tie vote, motion fails. It needs to make some changes, select a different auditor. Usually you're selecting more than one choice.
So you would prefer the treasurer not to sit on the audit committee?
No, not to have a full vote. Ex officio.
Ex officio.
Non-voting position. So he has influence because he's sitting at the table, he's speaking, he's not called up, he's sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, he's going to have influence.
Right. That sounds doable. So to state that he is one, and then by rule, then we'll make this be the Congressional Audit Committee. And I've talked to the rules chairman and let her know that that's what I was thinking. She hasn't totally absorbed that yet either, but we need to have some things set in our rules when we set out the RFP, when we actually make the choice and engage the auditor. It's going to have to be set up date-wise, because if we do the audit function as a total nation audit, we're going to have people in and engaged in a timely fashion to know what they're doing. So there's a lot there. Anyone? So that's what I'm thinking, and I'm willing to take any suggestions.
Okay. It'll be easier to give you some feedback once we get the red line version. And I know that's a job to put together.
Well, you'll be able, if you can get in on Word on your laptop, you should be able
to. So how do I get to it? It's just on Word?
When you open up the attachment, open it up in Microsoft Word.
I guess I haven't gotten the email. Do did someone, did everyone else get that?
She just sent it like while we were in committee.
Right.
That's why you haven't seen it.
It should have just come to you.
No, it just came a few minutes.
Well, we were sitting here.
Okay.
Right, I just sent it right before we started talking.
Okay.
Oh, but you're saying you still don't have it at this moment?
Still don't have it.
Okay, I'll
make sure you get that, Ron.
Okay. Anyway, I think we could all give you better feedback.
Yes.
We're just showing how difficult it is when you're trying to use this and you've got your bill. And I appreciate your efforts in providing that for us, because I know it's a lot of work to put together red line versions. It's not a simple deal.
No, I'm learning how to do that better. I'm operating in there. It's just the printing functions I'm really having trouble with. And I asked Shannon to help me. She's like,
I think it's
Speaker Pratt.
Apple product. Move to table, so let's say 1764.
How about the call?
Postpone.
Motion made to table 1764. Call the chair.
Second.
Seconded by Congressman Whitehorn. Any discussion?
Nope.
Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no? Okay.
I'm so happy you bring that thing all the time.
Is there a second?
I will take it.
With no objection, we are adjourned.
I know Don wanted the bat, so I'm going to have it.
I'm hungry. You all can stay. I'm really hungry.
There's baked potatoes back there. But I'm not in a baked potato mood. I'm just telling you.
I had one yesterday.